Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, how we thank you for the opportunity to gather. How we thank you for your living word, and how we thank you for the instructiveness of so much of it, Lord, and how we need it. So may we open our hearts to you this morning and receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about history of maybe the last 75 years. I want to take you back over 3,000 years and ask you a few questions. When's the last great, great trial you had? You really thought it was really a bad one, and you may have asked for everybody in the world to pray for you, and you didn't even know if you were going to get through it. What was the nature of that? We're going to look today at a 20-year-old man who had to flee out of his bedroom window to avoid being killed by a whole team of men sent to kill him by the king. Has any of you ever been rousted out of your bed in running for your life? This is big deal. This is not just a minor little, oh, I'm worried about this, it might happen. He's about to die, unless he gets out of there. And, you know, then his wife will, Michal, will basically lie about, she'll tell her dad, he said, you know, why did you let him go? And she said, oh, he threatened me. So his wife has turned against him, the king has turned against him. And it's so amazing as you look back, as you know through the story of David, everything that he did, God blessed him. And every time he was blessed, Saul just got more and more jealous and more angry. So Saul would give him all these death kind of assignments, you know. Go get 100 foreskins from the Philistines, and knowing that good and well that he'd get killed. So what's he do? He brings back 200. He puts him in charge of the army, knowing that he's young and he's going to get killed, and yet he turns out to be the hero of the army. So then he gives him as a snare, first it was his older daughter, but then he'd married her off to somebody else. And then as a snare, he gives the younger daughter. She must have been a real piece of work, Michal, because he thought that would really do her in, or do him in, you know. But here he's the Lord's. So when you're in this problem of whichever that greatest one you just had, how much singing did you do? How much complaining did you do? How much doubting of the Lord did you do? So this very humbling psalm to me, when I see these psalms, this is a miktam or a golden psalm, and that means it's an instructive psalm. And it's just every time I see that, I go, oh, I'm going to be humbled again today, you know, because this is so humbling, really. And it says, it begins, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. So we're going to sing a song here, He's Able to Deliver Thee. And I brought in a great choir today to sing this song because I couldn't find any song online or anything else that I liked. So we'll just sing it ourselves, right? So we have to follow along the words here, and we have to be, each of us has to take our role in this singing here so we can make this beautiful noise to the Lord. But He is able to deliver thee. And this psalm says, deliver me, deliver me. So let us sing, He is able to deliver me. Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung, tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue, tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. God is able to deliver thee, He is able to deliver thee, He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, He will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, him for rest, our God is able to deliver thee. Anybody disagree with that? 17 verses in this psalm. We'll read it first and then look at it just a little bit each verse. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold, you therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressors. At evening they return, they growl like a dog, and go all around the city. Indeed, they belch with their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. I will wait on you, or I will wait for you, O you, his strength, for God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for the cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be, and let them know that God rules in Jacob. To the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening they return, they growl like a dog, they go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl if they are not satisfied. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. Is that great or what? How different that is from my reaction. I think in 11 out of the 17 verses here, he cries out to the Lord. That's about two-thirds. When you're in a great problem, that two-thirds of what you say to the Lord. Also, it's very clear here, he's in a situation that he doesn't deserve. He hasn't done anything wrong. And so often we think when we do nothing wrong, we shouldn't really have all these problems, right? Well, remember, God has promised to bring you to Christ-likeness. And the only time we learn, really, is in trials and afflictions. We don't learn when things are great. We really don't. So, deliver me from my enemies, he starts out. Oh, my God, defend me from those who rise up against me. And we're told in the footnote here, a miktam, or a teaching psalm of David, when Saul sent men, and they watched the house in order to kill him. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. So he's really crying out here to the Lord. He's in a desperate spot. Now it could happen in our country in the future that this will come to be, where they could come and break into your home and try to kill you. But that's a long way off from where we are today, and it's a long way off from where we've ever been. So we think we're really undergoing great, great problems, right? Maybe they're not quite so great compared to what they could be. Verse 3, for look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me. Kind of reminds me of the FBI breaking in a little bit, doesn't it, in a way? the government representatives, the king's representatives. Not for my transgression, for my sin, O Lord, they run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. So he's really saying in one way, kind of, that's what I say a lot, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? But where does he go? A pity party? I call all his friends. Hey, I'm being wrongfully persecuted here. No, he says, awake to help me and behold you, therefore, Jehovah Sabaoth, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel. And listen to this, awaken to punish all the nations. Are you really concerned about the world and all of those coming against Christians or against Christ when you're going through a great, great problem? I don't. I may get there, but I don't start there. But he is saying, awake to punish all the nations. This is the big picture. This is just not these hooligans trying to kill him. Do not be now. Now, he gets into these Old Testament prayers here that part of us really like. You know, I really like to kill them and break their teeth and all that. But remember, this is not a New Testament prayer. Did Jesus say as they were nailing him to the cross, break their teeth and no. No, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So I don't recommend these prayers as your mainstay prayer in considering what Christ has done for us, which hadn't happened yet at this time with David. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressors. At evening they growl like a dog and go all around the city. Indeed, they belch or bubble up forth with their mouth, just all kinds of crudeness and ugliness and blasphemies coming out of their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for they say, who sees? They say, who hears? So, you know, I can do whatever I want. There's no God. I can sin all I want. I can take other people's lives. No problem. Nobody knows. Nobody hears. Then verse 8, but you, that reminds me of Psalm 2, you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. And I think when God laughs, it's not a mocking laugh. It's just kind of an incredible thing that people would come against him. That people would just try to scheme and come against him. You know, I see the foolishness in the end of the Great Tribulation there when the whole world wants to come against God. How foolish that is. But he holds them in derision. And then notice 9, I will wait for you, O you, his strength. For God is my defense. In other words, there could be stronghold. God is my stronghold. And David was used to living in strongholds. And from this point on, maybe not so much here yet, but he will be going from one stronghold to another for years as Saul is going to chase him. And then again, my God of mercy shall come to meet me. Boy, what a great prayer that is. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. And so I wrote down there, is this me? Am I like that? Am I really looking to the God of my mercy to meet me? Verse 11, do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power. Bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the word of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride for the cursing and lying which they speak. So here David, I think, is saying, you know, let them be a witness, basically, that crime does not pay. Don't just wipe them out. Let them live as a witness that it doesn't work to come against the Lord. Consume them in wrath, consume them. Again, an Old Testament prayer. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God rules in Jacob. That's okay. That's still in effect. God rules in Jacob. That hasn't ended 3,000 years ago. That's still in effect. God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. So I wrote down here, Iran and other such countries, maybe the United States now, look out. When you come against Israel, you're coming against a big problem here. And then he pauses again. Verse 14, and at evening they return and they growl like a dog. They go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl if they are not satisfied. They just want blood. How many people are running around today? They just want blood. They just want to see their opponents fail and whatever. But now notice how he closes here. He says, I will sing three times in closing. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. Isn't that great? Oh, I need to pay attention to that. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. Father, we thank you for these instructive passages, Lord, and shows us so much as we hold ourselves up against what we read here and in such convicting areas here in all of our lives, I would think, or certainly in my life, being so selfish and just so focusing on myself and this big problem I have when in reality it's nothing. And you are the one. You are the one. You are our defense and you are our God of mercy. You are our strength. Oh, Lord, may we sing praises to you, especially when we're alone, Lord, especially when it's just you and us and we're singing to you. And thank you, Lord, for giving us prayer, for giving us the opportunity to pray. And as we meet each Saturday for a few minutes to pray, guide us by your Spirit now that we would redeem this time as we bring the petitions before you or as we just praise you or whatever you would lead us to do, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. So let's pray. So we're getting close to the end of the hour. Just wanted to be reminded and remind you that no matter how strong the wicked appear to us, we have such an example with David here today that we don't need to let that allow to intrude into our worship with the Lord, into our closeness with the Lord. It's totally separate, impervious to that unless we allow ourselves to go that way. And so we can get closer to the Lord through these difficulties, or we can get further away from Him. But we see David here turning to the Lord in times of great, great difficulties, more than I think any of us have ever faced. But we all have our own difficulties. You can rest assured that every single person on the face of the earth is going to encounter difficulties because of Adam. Sin entered the world, death through sin. So as I came to the end of the psalm today and see three times I will sing, I thought, I got to find a song entitled, I Will Sing. And can't find very many. That's really sad, right? Isn't it? I mean, I can find a lot of probably songs I will cry, but we're not interested in a way in changing this psalm around. So, but I will sing of your power, but I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense. So I did come up with a song. It's probably not familiar with any of us, but it has some nice words in it. It's on the page 3. So let's sing along on this song, I Will Sing. Thank you.
Lord, you seem so far away, a million miles or more it feels today. And though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray. But I don't know what to say, and I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will sing, yes, I will pray. Even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will sing. Your word is true, I will sing. Lord, it's hard for me to see all the thoughts and plans you have for me. But I will put my trust in you, knowing that you died. Set me free, oh thank God. But I don't know what to say, and I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will sing.
Father, we will sing. Help us to praise, Lord, and your word is true. Help us to look to you, Lord, and may we remember this psalm in times of difficulty, Lord, and help us to sing, Lord. Help us to sing. You have given us the victory. Nobody can take that away from us. The glorious living hope of knowing we'll be with you forever without end, Lord. How could we do anything but sing? And yet most of the time we do anything but sing. But you know our frame, you know our weakness, you know our reaction to your correction and our reaction to your giving us challenges and giving us trials and afflictions for our own good. And we forget that you love us so much, it's all for our good. We think, how could you do this to me, Lord? I don't like it. And yet, Lord, it's all because you love us. And you want to change us. You don't want to leave us the way we are. And we certainly agree with that, I think. But help us to sing. Help us to praise. Help us to stand strong for you, Lord, and be that witness that would draw people to you. May your love shining forth our life be so great people would just chase after you, Lord. We do want to pray for this nation, Lord, and we see it over and over again in the scripture. You loved Israel. Israel was your wife, Jehovah. And yet they turned against you. They turned against you. They turned against you. And then you would say, you've gone after other gods. So when you get in trouble, go to your other gods. You rejected me. And Lord, as has already been prayed this morning here, The only thing really wrong with his nation is we turned against you. And then we see all of the Ammonites and Edomites and every other kind of ites coming in, all of the, from every direction, Lord, when you remove your shield of protection and your defense, evil runs wild. So, Lord, pray for your church. I pray for every believer. May we be the ministers of the gospel that you would have us to be with our lives. And we thank you. Thank you for meeting us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.